I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We start with the verdict handed down today to Ratko Mladic, one of the most notorious military commanders of the Bosnian War in the 1990s. 5 years after his trial began, Mladic was sentenced to life in prison for genocide and war crimes. This is a man who is known as the Butcher of Bosnia.
Mladic is the epitome of evil.
That's the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zayd Raad Al Hussein. The UN tribunal in The Hague convicted Mladic on 10 of 11 charges. In Srebrenica in particular, the court found that Mladic significantly contributed to the genocide there in 1995. More than 7,000 Bosniak men and boys were murdered. It was the worst atrocity in Europe since World War II. Among the victims, nearly every male relative of this woman, Mirsada Mladic. She was one of hundreds of witnesses who testified against Ratko Mladic.
I lost my husband, my two sons, my two brothers-in-law, a father-in-law, a nephew, uncles and their sons. You cannot even count them all. We all lost everything.
We're going to hear now from Arminka Helic. She was born in the former Yugoslavia, and she was forced to flee the fighting as a refugee. Now she's a member of the British House of Lords. Helic has also advised the UK government on what justice should look like for the victims of the Bosnian War.
I have been one of the lucky ones who has emerged unscathed in terms of not losing immediate members of my family in the war. But the verdict will mean a lot to the families of the victims. It can't, obviously, it can't bring back their family members, but it does offer some recognition and some closure. And above all, it also establishes incontestable, undeniable historical legal record in a region where there are many people who still deny the past.
He was also found guilty of involvement specifically in the Srebrenica massacre. Remind us why this event that resulted in the deaths of some 6,000 people. What does this chapter mean, and what was Mladic's role in it?
Well, he was a commander of the force that laid a siege on Srebrenica, which at the time was a UN-protected area.
Right.
And
had been for a couple of years,
unfortunately, with the wrong mandate, where the UN forces could not really defend it. They didn't have a mandate to defend this area. Mladic, who was a general commanding the troops, entered the town, ordered separation of men and women, then proceeded to imprison and unfortunately eliminate the remaining menfolk, which included anyone from the age of 9 or 10, the youngest victims, to the ages of 70 plus. And if you go to Srebrenica today and you go to the Srebrenica Memorial, you can see results of those actions, which are a sad indictment of humanity in the 20th and 21st century.
I mean, we're hearing about ethnic cleansing, whether it's actually happening or not in Myanmar right now is kind of beside the point. A lot of people are pointing to it. Do you think leaders will look at this verdict and take pause?
I hope that those who are committing or who are being alleged to have committed crimes in Myanmar, pointing out the military here, or those who have committed crimes in Syria can be reminded of the fact that justice is slow, but it's sure. And I hope that this will either be a reminder or in a way deterrent for those who think that somehow they can act with impunity and that they are somehow about the law.
Of course, Ratko Mladic couldn't have done all of this by himself. How much support is there still among Serbs for men like Mladic today?
Well, that is an interesting question. I mean, I was surprised to hear that the leader, the president of the smaller entity Republika Srpska in Bosnia Herzegovina, said that the Serbian people are proud of what he did. That is not something nice to say. And you know, how can a modern 15-20-year-old living in Europe today be proud of or support anyone who committed crimes like rape and extermination and genocide and, you know, all sorts of war crimes. But my hope is that the future and the world that we live in which we are more open, where there is access to information, that world may provide enough oxygen for young people in Bosnia to see the truth. The proceedings that took place in The Hague, yes, it was slow, yes, it was costly, but I think they will serve as that undeniable historical, factual, legal record of what happened in this region. And that is important, not only when we look back at the past, but above all, it's important for the future, because we've got to, at some point, we have to draw a line and say we're now looking to the future. These scores have been settled. It is time now to hand over this region to the younger generation. And if we hand over that younger generation region in chaos, we have not served them well.
So that's kind of the legal and political future. What about the psychic future? I mean, is the conviction of Mladic a turning point for the people of the former Yugoslavia?
I think it will take a little bit of time. Some horrendous crimes took place. And, you need to have a lot of political leadership, support from the outside, strength to understand and recognize the past if change is going to take place. And I'm an optimist, and I believe that these medieval practices will not be repeated, and that this may serve as a reminder to the citizens of the region that there is a better path. And that path is towards stable and secure, prosperous region that can offer better future to particularly young generation. There is absolutely no other way and no other path.
When you were a refugee, where did Mladic sit in your mind? What was your frame of reference?
It was quite difficult, to be honest, because no one prepares you for war, and no one prepares you for a moment where the military or armed forces that are there to protect you from external and internal threat are going to turn against you. So it took quite some time to believe that actually our neighbors were laying the siege on a neighboring town and allegedly committing crimes. And I was probably quite young to understand all the subtleties and everything that was going on, but I know that he was a man who, for me, represented a man who could stop crimes from happening, but who could also make them even worse. Man who kept Sarajevo under siege for 3.5 years, who kept my family starved and who were killed there during the siege. Everything was in his hands.
Armika Helic was born in the former Yugoslavia. She's now a member of the British House of Lords. Thanks very much for speaking with us today.
It's my pleasure. Have a good day.